Ready?
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the April 12, 2018 hearing of the Clark County Land Use Hearings Examiner. My name is Daniel Cairns. I will be presiding over the and hearing the two items on tonight's agenda. Let me begin with a brief introduction to me and an explanation as to how the process is going to run for these items tonight. First of all, I and one other person, we serve by appointment from the Board of County Councilors to hear land use applications, development proposals on land in unincorporated Clark County. It's our job to review the record, review the application, review all the public comments, read the staff reports, and then to convene a hearing such as this, take public testimony, and ultimately to decide whether these applications meet or do not meet the applicable approval criteria. Those are the standards that were in the county's development code on the day these applications were each submitted, and those approval criteria are what govern my decision. I'm not allowed to be more lenient nor more strict than they allow, but rather to decide whether the applicant has submitted into the record sufficient credible evidence to demonstrate that all of those standards are met or can be met through conditions. If that evidence exists, if there's sufficient probative, credible evidence in a record, I'm obligated to approve these development proposals. Understanding that sometimes the guarantee of compliance with those criteria is through conditions of approval. I'm also required to provide an impartial evaluation of each of these applications, and I believe that I am with regard to both of these. I don't have any business, familial, or any other relationship with any of the applicants or the parties who have weighed in so far. What I know about each of these applications is what I've read in the record, and if any of you wish to question me about any ex parte contacts, conflicts of interest, or biases, feel free to do so during the public testimony portion of the item that you're interested in. For each of these two proposals that are before us tonight, here's the basic series of events, how the schedule will work. First of all, we begin with a staff report on each of these items. That's a verbal rendition of the written staff report that was issued prior to tonight's hearing, and I believe there's still copies of the staff report back there. The staff report recites all of the applicable approval criteria and provides an analysis of whether and how each of those standards is met based on the application materials that the developer has submitted. After the staff report comes the applicant's presentation. What I'm looking for from the applicant primarily is, first of all, you can assume that I've read your application, I'm familiar with the proposal, but one thing I need to know is, are there any changes, any modifications or tweaks to the proposal based on staff report or anything else that's happened? I need to know, what the current plan is. Second, I need to have the applicant's specific comments on corrections to challenges to the findings and the conditions that staff has proposed in the staff report. So I need that kind of feedback from the applicant with specificity. And a third thing is, if there's going to be public testimony on your proposal tonight, I would ask the applicant to keep notes of the testimony that comes in from the public, because oftentimes the public testimony is in the form of questions about how the development is going to work, how it's going to impact them, how the traffic circulation works, those sorts of issues, and the developer and the applicant are usually in the best position to respond to those kinds of questions. So that's a third thing I'm looking for from the applicant. After the applicant's presentation, then anyone in favor can testify. After that, anyone with neutral testimony or questions can testify. And finally, anyone opposed can testify. If there's opponent testimony, the applicant gets final rebuttal. In all these cases, the applicant has the last word, because the applicant has the burden of proof, the burden of proving that they have met all of the approval criteria. As I mentioned, those are spelled out and analyzed in the staff report. After everyone has had a chance to testify and say virtually anything they want that's relevant to the application, I'll come back to staff, see if there are any parting comments based on the evidence and testimony that has come in. And then following that, it's my typical habit to close the record on the item and take the case under consideration. I don't normally issue a verbal ruling from the bench here, but rather my decisions come out in writing approximately 2 weeks after the record closes. If you need additional time to formulate your testimony, you can ask for a continuance or that the record be kept open for some period of time. If you want either of those things, you need to make that request during the public testimony portion of the hearing, and you need to give me some kind of explanation or justification for it. Also, if my decisions are final and can be appealed to Clark County Superior Court through the Land Use Petition Act, in order to appeal on my decisions, though, you need to participate either orally or in writing before I close the record on the item you're interested in. You need to raise before me tonight or in writing before the record closes any issue that you would want to preserve for a subsequent appeal, and you need to present to me during the open record part any evidence you want me to consider or that you'd want to rely upon in a subsequent appeal. Remember, part of what I'm putting together here is that written and verbal record on each of these items. The record will close, and if there's a subsequent appeal, that record will go up to Superior Court. Here are some basic guidelines for presenting testimony tonight. First of all, only do so at this table in front of me, and do it in the order that I just recited. Come up, speak into the microphone, start with your name and mailing address. I'll ask you to spell your name also so I get that close to correct. And when you testify, please limit your comments to the applicable approval criteria. As I mentioned, my decision is governed quite strictly by those standards. I can't really take into account issues that aren't relevant to those approval criteria. So you should tailor your testimony to those same criteria. If you have any exhibits or documents that you want me to consider, log those in. They'll become part of the permanent record. They'll be given an exhibit number. Be prepared to leave them. You could possibly get them back, but be prepared to leave any exhibits. Also, remember to raise tonight in written testimony or verbal testimony any issue that you want to preserve for a subsequent appeal. Let me know if you represent somebody else so that I have a notion as to who has a stake in the matter before me. You need not repeat testimony or points that other people have raised. If you agree with something that someone else has said, let me know that. I'll ascribe that point to you, and you can go on to your next point after that. Remember that failure to raise an issue tonight with sufficient specificity to allow someone to respond to that will preclude an appeal in Superior Court based on that issue. And that's it by way of a procedural rundown. If you have questions going forward, feel free to ask. We begin tonight with Pleasant Hollow, PLD 2017-83. The zoning is R1-7.5. It's approximately 14 acres, proposing 56 lots. And I'll take a staff report when you're ready.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Jan Bazala, Community Development. On my left is Ira Christensen from Public Works, and on his left is Lance Watt, also from Community Development and Habitat and Wetland Review. So as the examiner noted, the proposal is to divide 14 acres into 56 single-family lots. Let's go to the area map. So the site is two tax lots, generally located in the Pleasant Highlands area. 119th is to the south, and 139th is located to the north. There's been a number of subdivisions in this area as of late. The last one, or one of the ones that this project will connect to, is the Philbrook Farms development. So here is a zoning map of the area. The properties, as noted before, are 17.5. Everything to the south is the same, to the east and to the north, and across 50th Avenue, properties are zoned R110, still a single-family residential zone. Here's an aerial of the site. As you can see, there are a lot of trees on the eastern two-thirds of the site, and some scattered trees along in the more open developed area that abut Northeast 50th Avenue. There are two homes, one on each tax lot, older homes and some outbuildings, and those are proposed to be removed. Site's generally level. There is some rolling aspect to it in particular areas. This open area here is now developed with Philbrook Farms, and 129th is a half-width street that's connecting to the eastern portion of this lot.
So 129th is already developed to have street width and stubbed on the east boundary?
Yes, half-width. So here's the proposed plat. Again, here's the stub of 129th Street. The lots meet the requirements for width and depth and area. As you can see, here's the subdivision, or I'm sorry, the stormwater tract in the southwest corner, northeast 50th Avenue is out here. No particular issues in regards to zoning or anything like that. The lots all look like they meet the code. Let's see, get you some photographs here. So this is one of the homes on the site. This is taken from across Northeast 50th looking east.
So two homes total on the development property, both will be removed?
Yes. So this is taken from where the new Northeast 130th Street intersection would intersect with 50th Avenue. This is looking north. And the next one is looking south from that area. This is a site, a shot taken from close to 50th Avenue, looking into the more treed areas on the site. And here's the trees in there. And here's, I think, one of the snags. It was dead and it was labeled, it was flagged, so I believe that that's one of the snags on the site that we'll talk about a little bit later. There's an open area in the middle of the trees. Nothing particularly remarkable. So some procedure items here. Notice of development. An optional SEPA determination of non-significance was sent on March 9th. The SEPA appeal deadline passed yesterday without an appeal. Received one public comment on the subdivision. The person lives at the southeast of this property, bordering Northeast 129th Street. And they
this
were.
Exhibit 6, Harry Karcher.
Yes, Carrie Karcher, I believe. Carrie and Robert Karcher, yes. Exhibit 6, yes. They're noting that the Hapwith Road along the north property line, apparently cars are sometimes going down there and then trying to turn around, creating a problem. This subdivision would extend that Hapwith Street and no longer make it a dead end. So it would seem on its face that that should be a helpful development. So a forest practice permit was submitted simultaneously with the application. That's done primarily to smooth the process. It could have been submitted afterwards, but just makes sense to look at everything all at once. That was reviewed by the county forester, and there are conditions of approval with that. Again, nothing out of the ordinary that we can tell at this point with that. There are a few snags that are on the site. These snags meet the definition of priority habitat, and the applicant proposed a mitigation plan to in order to remove the snags, that they would create some snags on a different site that is owned by the county. So there are somewhat unusual conditions in the report to require the applicant to create snags off-site and make sure that they do succeed in dying as after they create the snags. And so God, apparently state Fish and Wildlife has reviewed and blessed that plan. So with that, that sort of sums up staff's report. Our recommendation is to approve with conditions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Christensen, any engineering issues?
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Ivar Christensen with Public Works. There is a finding 4 on page 11 of 30 of the report that talks about site distance. After staff wrote the report, there were discussions with the applicant's engineer regarding that site distance. I think in the initial traffic study, the traffic engineer indicated that there was 377 feet of site distance available and 400 feet is required. The applicant's civil engineer took a closer look at the existing road and concluded that they were comfortable they could meet the 400 feet of required site distance. So I guess the result is that there might be a different finding that you might want to make, but the conditions of approval should stay the same. The applicant's comfortable that they can meet the required 400 feet of site distance.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Mr. Watt, what's the deal with creating snag habitat? How's that work?
This is one that we don't typically run into a lot.
I don't think I've seen it.
But I believe we spelled it out in the report on the criteria that Washington Fish and Wildlife has for a tree to be considered a snag. So basically it needs to be at least 20 inches in diameter at breast height and needs to display a sufficient amount of decay in order to be considered a snag. And the AKS had provided us a report, and initially it said there were 3 snags that looked like they met that size threshold. And again, after discussing with Fish and Wildlife on if they would be considered priority snags, they ultimately agreed that they were. So in order to remove the snags, they needed to be able to try to create snags of similar size somewhere off-site, which is what was proposed. And after discussion with Fish and Wildlife and also with the Parks Department and our forester, decided that there was a county site that would meet the required tree size for creating snags.
Yeah, first time I've seen this. Seems like a good idea.
Seems safer than trying to create more on site somewhere.
In the middle of a
creating a hazard. Yeah. I mean, they explored that idea, but it ultimately just didn't pan out.
You know, tall snags would definitely be a wind throw hazard.
Yeah. Okay. And the area they proposed to do it is a biodiversity area where snags could and should exist, so and they're not going to be a hazard to any people or property. So,
okay, fair enough. Anything else of note? You have a lot of detailed findings in here. Anything beyond that?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, thank you. With that, I will take the applicant's presentation, please.
Good evening. Mason Wolf with Krippner Homes, the applicant. Address is 6715 Northeast 63rd Street, Suite 166, Vancouver, Washington, 98661. The county did a thorough job of writing a staff report as well as presenting. We've spent a lot of time going over it and have nothing to add. We're available for questions. We concur with all of staff's findings. The project can meet the code. There was no special overlaying codes we were applying for or anything, so we're proposing this project meets the basic code.
Okay, I think there's one road mod. That's the only variation that I noted.
Yes, I believe because we're not connecting 129th and we're, Ivar will have to remind me what that was for.
Actually, I think...
Oh, we scratched it because we redesigned. That's right, yeah. Okay. There is not a road mod because we ended up redesigning to meet...
That's right, it was in the original application.
Correct.
Okay, scratch that one. Okay.
And the applicant and engineer are available to respond or to questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. I don't have any other questions. It is pinned down in the staff report pretty well. Thank you. Anyone wish to testify in favor of this proposal? Anyone with neutral testimony or questions? Anyone opposed? Anyone at all? Okay. Anything to add to the previous staff comments?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. With that, I will close the record on this item, take it under consideration, and issue a written staff report in approximately 2 weeks on this proposal. Thank you. Next, the Pinnacle Cluster Subdivision is up. It's PLD 2017-86. It's a rural R5 zoned cluster subdivision on 51.37 acres, proposing 10 residential lots and a remainder lot. Take the staff report when things are ready, please.
Mr. Examiner, as you're already aware, I wanted to make note that since we issued the staff report, the applicant requested some what staff feels are fairly minor changes that I sent to you, as well as a memo that I wrote regarding that.
I saw that.
I made both pieces of correspondence and exhibit for the public record.
27 and 28.
And if you want to look at those exhibits, they are there on the table there with the staff report. Hey, my name is Brian Mattson. I'm the review planner on this proposal, and Ivar Christensen is the review engineer. The outline here of this is basically we're going to provide an overview. Sorry, Mr. Examiner, you already covered this before, so I'm going to skip this.
You could do a better job than I did, though.
I doubt it. Okay, this is the vicinity map. The two black dots show the general location of the site. You have Brunner Road to the south. You have Matney Creek to the north. You have 272nd Avenue here to the east and 259th to the west. You can see on this map it shows the point of Brunner Hill also, basically in the middle of the site here. The zoning map shows a closer look at the parcelization of the properties around it. The zoning is R5. All the properties around it are R5. It's all existing single-family residences except for an existing church here in the southwest corner. In this aerial photo, you can see that it was forested at this time. The applicant has taken out a forest practice permit since this photo was taken, and logging activities have already begun down here. You can see the existing house and the existing outbuildings, as well as some pasture from the original dwelling here at the southeast corner. In this slide, I added the forest harvest plan from the forest practice permits. You can see generally where the applicant is wanting to take the trees. I thought that this would be of special importance to the surrounding neighbors to see this. This is the proposed plan. North is oriented to the top of the page. This calls for a new driveway to be put in, which is actually already being put in. They're using it for a haul road for the logging activities. This is a state route, so that position was agreed upon between the applicant and Washington Department of Transportation. The cluster lots are centered in the center of the site to take advantage of the peak of Rooner Hill. The lots will all be kind of configured around the access road, which almost takes a switchback-like path up that slope. It's too steep to just go in a straight line up that hill.
So the top tier of lots, that's kind of the peak of the hill?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At this point, we'll go through some site photographs. I'll try to go through them fairly fast so not to bog things down. This map shows shows where I took the pictures in relation to the proposed plans. You get a better idea with the reference there. This first one is looking easterly down Brunner Road from the southeast or southwest corner of the site. This driveway here at the bottom of the photo is the driveway, one of the driveways for the existing church. You can see the orange construction limits fencing in the distance. That's where the new driveway is going to be is placed essentially. This photo is standing on that the new driveway that they're using for a haul road. This is graveled right now. They've already been doing some logging activities, and you can see they've done some restorative grading here. Again, this is the construction fencing you can see in the first photo, and that's Brunner Road. This is standing on that driveway as it's extending towards the existing residence that you'll see a picture of in a minute. And this is looking uphill towards the crest of the peak, basically. And they've, as you can see, they've done the logging through here already. This one is from that line of trees that you saw in the last picture, looking back to the southeast. This roof here in the distance is the existing garage. And this road you can see through the trees here is Brunner Road. This is another map showing the photos I took at the other southeast corner of the property. In this photo, we're standing at the corner of Brunner Road and the southeast corner of the site, and I'm looking northerly up the seasonal drainage that shares a portion of the southeast border. This wasn't mapped as any kind of habitat, and you can see that the neighbor has trimmed down blackberries and other brush here at the time of this picture. It had been raining pretty heavily when I was there, and there's just a little bit of water coming down there. It's not a torrent or anything, so it's definitely a seasonal drainage. In this photo, you're looking east, or you're looking westerly down Brunner Road. I'd like to point out this existing line of mature landscape. One of the cluster lot provisions is that you have some landscape screening from the public right-of-way, and the applicant indicated that they may want to keep some of that existing landscape, which would be agreeable as long as it's shown on the final landscape plan.
What are those, do you know?
What's that?
What are those trees?
They look like arborvitaes.
Yeah, big.
And they're
big.
They're big.
Arborvitae.
Yeah, they're tall. This photo is the existing home. This is taken from the existing driveway, which will be abandoned in favor of the new location.
Total of one house on this property?
Just one, yes. And that house is going to remain for now on the remainder parcel.
Okay. And the access road will be a private road?
Yes. Okay. And then that private road will go uphill towards the cluster lots, and we'll have a side driveway connection for this. In this photo, you see the existing garage and then an existing shed. I looked at both of those structures. The shed doesn't appear to have any kind of historic value. It's my understanding from the applicant that shed was going to be removed, which staff is agreeable to that. This last photo, I just wanted to give kind of a scale of what the hill looks like from surrounding properties. It's just a couple of extra ones. There's not a lot you can do close up because it's so treed, so it's hard to get a grander scale of it. This photo is from the west looking east from 259th Avenue. You can see the tree line here, which is the crest of Brunner Hill. That's where your cluster lots will be located. This is from the other end of the site, looking west from the end of 26th Circle, which is a cul-de-sac, and this tree line in here is where those cluster lots will be. Probably more actually to the left here. I think a lot of these trees may still remain on the back side of that hill, as is my understanding. It gets steeper there, and I think those areas are being avoided. The notice of development was an optional SEPA determination of non-significance was sent on March 3rd. The SEPA appeal deadline passed with no appeal yesterday. I received several public comments. Most of them shared the concern with habitat impacts as well as setbacks to adjoining properties. And as I said earlier, forest practices permit was submitted prior to the subdivision application, and they've already begun those logging activities. Some of the issues on the project involved the slopes. That was the only critical areas that was identified on the site, and some of the access locations and configuration as far as the switchback-looking path and then the location of the cluster lots are due in part because of those slopes on the site. Brunner Road is also a state right-of-way, and that location of the access was somewhat pinned down there because that was the agreeable location with the Washington Department of Transportation. In summary, staff recommended approval with conditions for this proposal. And did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Mr. Examiner, the applicant provided that memo that Brian mentioned, requesting a few minor changes. Two of those changes were deferred to development engineering, who I represent tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's related to, I think it's the applicant could confirm, but it's related to some standard conditions of, I think it's A-3, A and B. The county puts those in almost every staff report, and I neglected to remove them. This is a state route. The county doesn't do any striping. Not going to do any traffic control. It's all maintained and owned by WashDOT, Washington Department of Transportation. So we agree with the applicant's request to remove conditions A3A and A3B.
Okay.
That concludes the county's presentation. If you have any questions, we'll be available.
No, I'll see what the applicant has to say. Thank you very much. I'll take the applicant's presentation, please.
Good evening. Dave Weston on behalf of the applicant, 9600 Northeast 126th Avenue, Suite 2520, Vancouver, Washington, 98682. To start, I'd like to thank staff. They did an amazing job on this project. It went smoothly, and we truly appreciate it. The only thing, in addition to staff agreeing with our revisions, is I also wanted to point out that the private street also is generally following the old existing logging road that is on the site already. And then it also, as you can see in the plan, will continue from the turnaround north and back into the rest of the timber area, the dash dots.
So say that again, where's the turnaround?
Right there, yeah.
Right at the very end of it?
So, yeah, from there heading north, there's a faint road that goes around the back to the north. It's called out existing timber land management road.
Back there.
The private street coming into the site, that's generally following that, and then we cut off to the cluster lots.
Okay, so I understand now.
Any additional questions?
No, it seems like you had your exhibit 27, your memo came in after the staff report. That's a complete list of your comments and corrections to the staff report. You don't have anything to add to that?
That's all, sir.
Okay, and I see staff has addressed every one of them. You're satisfied? You don't have any further?
No.
Compound on that. Okay. Let's see. There was one mention of a fence encroachment or showed up on the survey. Is that an issue?
It is my understanding that the applicant agreed to resolve those before final plat with Ariel Lamb of the survey department. Is that correct, Dave?
That's my understanding.
Okay, it looked pretty minor. Exhibit 11 illustrates the encroachment. Okay. There is a standard set of conditions that I put on when there's an encroachment, a dispute on part of the property. This, though, looks pretty small and doesn't affect any of the lot sizes, setbacks, anything like that. So, okay. I don't have any questions at this point, but we'll see what public testimony comes in.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify in favor? Anyone with neutral testimony or questions?
I think I've kind of been that
range. Well, come on down then.
I'm John George. My wife must speak for herself, I guess. We live at 2260 Northeast 272nd Avenue.
And I see you have a letter in the record, Exhibit 14.
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And CAMAS 98607. And your...
I am Karen Michelle George, John's wife. Same address, et cetera.
So we, when we first saw that plat, we were concerned about, well.
Where is your house relative?
They're roughly in this general area here, I believe.
We actually own two lots. We own the one to the south east. We bought that recently and cleaned it up. You mentioned that. I've been trimming that. You had a picture down there. That's our house up above it.
So you abut this property.
We bought the one below. And been cleaning it up, and we won. And then we have the one that's basically to the east of lot 7.
Okay.
That's our existing home. We've been there 26 years or so. So our concern was how close they were going to be to us. And when we looked at that, you know, and our neighbors expressed it. The same thing, you know, we're all thinking R5, well, they're on 5 acres,
mm-hmm.
and that's what people are behind us when they develop the 30 acres back there.
You weren't expecting the clusters.
We weren't expecting, it was a new concept to me. And so, yeah, I was like, wow. And, but looking at it and even talking, I think it was maybe to you, Brian, I kind of warmed up to it. Because one thing that I find people on 5 acres have a hard time taking care of 5 acres, even mowing it out, you know, even just mowing it. They may not have a tractor and whatnot. So I kind of warmed up to the cluster, but we're used out there in rural area to have large distances between homes. And so when we look to our west at that plat, at that layout, plat, whatever you call it. I thought, wow, so number 7's getting pretty close. And what is a drain field, I thought, was a building lot at first. We thought that was a building area, but that's like 10 feet off the boundary. And by the way, I think that fence dispute is me. I'm not disputing it, but Mr. Welch that owned it had it in the wrong place. And I've known for many years where it was supposed to be because it was surveyed out. So I'm going to...
It shows the encroachment on the northwest corner of this lot.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's not the one. I mean, I'm not going to dispute it, but the fence is not on the place. It's mostly down, but it's only 3 feet. It's not a big deal to me. So, okay. So maybe there's another dispute there. So anyway, when we wrote up our response, you know, if I have my druthers, I'd like to have the whole thing pushed, the whole cluster pushed a few hundred feet to the west, give us more room. But the Aikens were very kind to meet with me, and we've talked about that. And I understand that, you know, you want to take advantage of the view, and you're not going to be able to move the hill over. And so it's kind of tough. That would be our druthers to get a couple hundred feet, and we'd like to see a couple hundred.
You could buy the lot.
Yeah, I could have bought the lot, but...
Price just went up.
Yeah. We're not going to be doing that now. We just bought the one below, and that's probably good for everybody in the neighborhood. That was a real mess down there.
Mm-hmm. Had it been logged?
Huh?
Had it been logged?
Well, it was blackberry overgrown. I mean, the house was built in 48, and the lady that lived there was handicapped, and her son had some issues. And there was even, there was a bunch of cars, an old motorhome in there. There was parts of a stolen car in there. That's a nice thing. You report that to the police, and they come take it away. It's a beautiful thing. They should have all been stolen. It would have been easy to get rid of. The Akins and I discussed, and I saw that it said along the eastern boundary, it said there's a 50-foot buffer. And I interpreted that as a buffer means a buffer, you know, vegetation and all that. But what I've learned since is that really meant 50-foot setback. And so I was concerned that we would have an open area in there. Mm-hmm. And that we would just suddenly have homes really a little bit above us, not such a bad thing, but, you know, we're kind of used to privacy. We're used to being alone in there. You know, I might say that, maybe off the record a little bit, that I heard it. I've never heard a cougar in the wild. I've only heard a cougar in the wild growl once, and that was from those woods, by the way. It was pretty incredible. But anyway, so as we talked about that, and I met with the Akins, my concern was that we would just be bare land down in there.
Looks like they're logging right up to the boundary.
They are going to log it. And I'm from a logging family, too, and I'd do the same thing. I mean, my dad used to log down in southern Oregon and all that stuff. And so, you know, I'd log them out, too. Those trees, they get big, and they, you know, at some point they need to be logged out. But they've assured me that they would replant some trees and create a tree buffer that would give us some blockage from the home so that we're not just wide open staring. I mean, my area, I have some large fir trees on my property, but most of it's been mowed out. I mean, I came in there 20 years ago, mowed out all the blackberries and everything. So it's what I call well taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so we just don't have a clear shot. And they've assured me that they'll do that. And because of that, they seem so nice that they said they would do that, that they'll make me happy. I'm not objecting to what they're doing, and let progress be progress is how I feel about it. So,
if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And then, the subsequent lot owner will do what they do. They aren't going to be bound by any of these promises that the current property owner, the developer, is making, because there's no real legal mechanism for that, except as reflected in any final decision I issue.
Well, okay, so you're saying that it's really a setback. It's really not a buffer.
There is a setback there, but in terms of will they plant trees or not, will there be a fence or not, when people move in and they will take care of or remove or do whatever they want with the trees aren't legally required at that point, I don't believe. Yeah, they're not part of the landscaping requirement. So I would encourage anyone in your position to get to know the developer on this one, and then watch closely as the lots get developed and people move in, and kind of get to know your neighbors and get on good enough relationships. So,
can they cut down the lots and actually make it a remainder part of it, so they can control it?
Well, when this gets this process that we're doing tonight is the creation of these lots as proposed. So the remainder lot is where it's proposed to be, and when this thing is approved, that's where the remainder lot will have to be, and then it creates these other 10 lots.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that it's their relationship with who they're selling them to and what they put in with their covenants or whatever they have with them as far as having that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of covenants there might be for this, but generally it doesn't cover, thou shalt plant trees here, here, and here. Fences aren't usually part of the deal either, but a lot of times if you want a fence, they would want a fence too, so that usually gets worked out. But just be aware that there are some things that the code requires, and there are some things that are just sort of gratuitous promises made by the property owner that may or may not still be in place years from now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the Akins will do their best to mm-hmm. do us good.
I'm sure they will,
and maybe the people won't want to stare at us either. So.
No, I mean, it's usually mutual. that people move out into the rural districts like this because they really don't want to be close to a bunch of neighbors, and so they would want those sorts of privacy buffer things as much as you do.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the neutral category? Anyone opposed? Anyone else at all? Mr. Weston, final rebuttal? I assume you've met these people.
Dave Weston. Once again, just want to thank staff. Thank you, Mr. Kearns. I'm certain that the applicant will be a good neighbor and work out any of those agreements on the side. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Staff, parting comments?
I just wanted to say one thing to Mr. George, just for your clarity. The forest practice permit that was issued before this subdivision really is not tied to the subdivision per se. It could stand on its own without this subdivision, and that harvest pattern would be the same regardless if they chose to change the configuration of the lots. I just wanted to say that for your clarification. That's all I have.
We saw the last application, there were some dead snags that had to be replaced as mitigation elsewhere, so I didn't hear that on this one, so we'll let it go.
There was no mapped areas of habitat and no Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife support for any habitat there either.
Yeah. Okay. With that, I will close the record on this item and take it under consideration. I'll issue a written decision on this application in approximately 2 weeks. And if anyone who didn't testify would like a copy of the final decision, I think there's a sign-up sheet at the back where you can leave your name and mailing address. Thank you. That concludes this item, and it concludes tonight's hearing.